Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. Saw a recent article that was out, and this one was in Parker Live, came out in the Wednesday, October 14th edition of their online newsletter, blog or an online news source, let me put it that way. And it said in the article, it was talking about preppers. In this case, it was talking about paid preppers, but it was the opening line of it that caught my attention. It said this: when the economy crashed in 2008, the term prepper suddenly appeared everywhere. It generally wasn't a term of endearment, with the media often portraying preppers, that's in quotes, as tinfoil hat wearing loonies. Yet didn't sales of ammo and other prepared goods increase during the depths of the recent economic crash? Apparently, many people decided it was time to prepare for some sort of potential societal breakdown. And the article goes on to from there to talk about different areas revolving around the subject of prepping. There are Christian preppers as well. We see different organizations that are geared that way. Well, a brand new book has just been released. I received a little promotional piece for it in my email the other day. It said this, just released, prepping is more than waiting for disaster. It is having the mindset that no matter what happens, I can feed my family well-nourishing meals without confusion and chaos. And the ad was for a new book that's just being released entitled Proverbs 31 Prepper. And this is nutrition. It says in the subtitle, nutrition is key for survival. And I've often thought about that. You know, sometimes I hear about people that are storing up canned goods and different items, and sometimes I read the list of some of the things that they're storing up, and it doesn't seem like they're really preparing to live very long that way, because if they eat some of the items that they've put away, the Vienna sausages and stuff like that, they may not be able to last that long in that type of a mode. So I thought this was interesting from a couple of aspects. One, I think it's interesting that in Proverbs 31, there is a lot of prepping-type language that is used there. And two, I thought if you are going to be preparing for some sort of a economic collapse or social upheaval or something, or just a natural disasters, and you'll be unable to get to the store for a while, if you're going to do that, why not do it in a way that is actually going to be more healthy for you? And so I thought we'd get the author on the program today to talk about this. The author is Annette Reeder, and that's been with me before on the broadcast as well. I think her organization is titled Flavor of Grace, Designed Healthy Living. And Annette, it's a pleasure to have you back on the program today.
Thank you, Kevin. I really enjoy being with you. You have just a great take on things, and I love the way you word it. You put it out there in the truth.
Well, good. I'm interested in this subject myself. I think that the scripture does say that the prudent see trouble coming and they prepare. The foolish ignore it and they suffer for it. You know, that's a paraphrase, but that basic concept is conveyed to us in the scriptures. When we read Proverbs 31, however, boy, there's an awful lot of prepper-type language there, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I saw.
Let's go through some of that language that is there in Proverbs 31 And let's highlight a couple of those terms that speak about that very subject, about prepping.
Okay, so if you were, even just to start, you know, it talks about she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Well, those are seasonal items. And so you would be gathering during that season to then last you until that next season.
Mm.
Okay, so that is an attitude of preparing. And it's kind of a mindset that we don't have to think about anymore because we have a just-in-time delivery in our grocery stores.
Yes. Yeah, I noted that. You know, even during some of the storm, we just recently had flooding here in South Carolina. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and last year they had quite a pretty good-sized snowstorms. And I was watching people's Facebook feeds, and just a very short period of time, things get serious because of that just-in-time system that the stores are working with now. They don't have this massive inventory of items, so the bread and milk go pretty quickly.
Yes, but as you said in the intro, so do some of the other foods that I'm wondering, why would you eat that now when you don't normally eat that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the candy goes, the cookies go, and it's, you know, and all of these canned goods that, some of the unhealthy canned goods, it's like, oh, wow, the emergency room is going to be so full after this catastrophe. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's going to be so many kids with upset stomachs, so many moms with, you know, kids bouncing off the wall because of all the sugar that they stocked up on, you know.
Right.
It's interesting that you mentioned, you know, the storm that South Carolina just went through, because up here in Virginia, we also had, you know, how the media kind of plays up the storm. It's like, oh, no, the hurricane's going to hit us as well. And so it was... Because I've been teaching this class, this Proverbs 31 prepper class all year, I have become a little bit more prepared. And so we have our own little Facebook group and everything. And everyone was saying, thank you, Annette. I'm not even concerned about this hurricane coming through because I know I'm ready.
Mm.
You know, and we will, you prevent that chaos and that last minute, you know, running to the store. So it was good.
I think some Christians struggle with the idea that if you prepare at all, you know, to just take some, even just some reasonable steps here to be ready in case of, you know, natural disaster or whatever, that somehow you're showing some sort of distrust in the sovereignty of God and not resting in the Lord. But the scripture really portrays this quite differently, that the believers are those who prepare, like Joseph. You know, he had the dream and seeing that, you know, years of famine were going to come. And so he stored up grain and saved not only the Egyptians, but it saved the people of God as well. So it's definitely a biblical concept, right?
Well, totally. And that's what Proverbs 1 points out. You know, it says she looks well to the ways of her household. Well, if you're waiting for a storm to be announced on the media and then you're running to the store, that's not really being well prepared. That's not, you know, having things on hand for when you need it. And, you know, and it says she's not afraid of the snow for her household. And that was kind of the verse that really was the solidifying factor for me, is when it says she's not afraid of the snow for her household. Because they were fully clothed, they were ready, they were prepared, you know, the food was prepared. And really the mentality of saying, well, I can just run to the store at the last minute, that's actually, you know, that's just actually been in the last 50 to 70 years that we've adopted that mentality, because before that you would have been prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is kind of a new concept that we can just, the just-in-time delivery, that we can do that. And so when I was talking to my dad, you know, this whole last summer there's been a lot of talk about preparing because, you know, Christians and non-Christians had a lot of theories about what was going to happen during this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so just a lot of talk. And so I was kind of also talking to my dad, and I said, Dad, you know, you probably should do a couple things that are important to, in case, you know, we have a power outage or in case we have an economic issue. And I said, you should have some food on hand. And I highly recommend everyone have at least a one-month supply,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a typical storm, that will get you through and you'll be happy. You'll be, you know, you won't be, you know, caught up in the confusion. And he says, Annette, I'm still eating the food that your mom has stored up downstairs. She's been gone for 2 years.
So your mom was thinking ahead, huh?
Yeah. So my mom was a Proverbs 31 prepper without even knowing the term.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think a lot of people, or some people, are that way as well. They just naturally understand that they should have food on hand like this. Maybe it's because some people have gone through difficulty, and because they have, then they realize just how woefully unprepared they were during those times, and they changed their lifestyle to just put a few things away and just be ready if something takes place. Now your niche here in this book, though, is not just putting things away, but putting things away that are nutritional for you. I saw one of those prepper shows. I can't remember which one it was, like a doomsday prepper or one of those. But I remember the one woman saying that she was preparing in such a way that she was hoping to gain weight during the disaster. And so during the grid down, she was going to be the one that was going to be putting on pounds because she had prepared so well. Well, I don't know if we got to go to that extreme, but you should be eating well, especially during those times, right?
Well, that is when you need the most nutrition and high-quality nutrition. I mean, in order for us to think well, to act well, to be able to run and do whatever we need to do, you've got to have good nutrition to do that. I mean, this is what I teach just on a normal day, when I'm in the churches doing the conferences, is just, how to feed our family well, how to, nourish ourselves so that they can be there to respond for whatever we're going through. And to let a catastrophe or an economic issue or just a storm, hurricane come through, and then all of a sudden we're feasting on high sugar foods and high processed foods. We can't think clearly when we eat like that, and it's just going to cause more problems than we're trying. It's going to add to the mix of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you imagine that not only would food be more difficult to get to, but you're also talking about it being more difficult than, you're not just going to pick up and go to a doctor visit or something. And so you need to take more care of yourself, more responsibility for your own health. Otherwise, you could really find yourself in real problem, not only with a lack of food, but then the need for medical care and not being able to get to it. So it certainly makes sense. Walk us through your book then. What sort of things do you tell people about preparing nutritionally for these types of events?
Okay, so the purpose of the book is that most of us don't even know how to prepare. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to say, okay, why should I prepare? Well, it's to bring confidence and nutritional value to our family. But the second part is, well, how do I prepare? And so I walk them through four essential steps on how to do that. And the four essential steps are just, very basic, but the first one is to just pray about it. Okay, Lord, how do I apply this knowledge? How do I look at Proverbs 31 and apply that to my household? How do I set up my home to be a little bit more prepared than what I am? Most people can only live 3 days on what they have stored. How do I kind of build up a 30-day supply just for, issues that may happen? It's first of all just to pray about it. How does God want you to apply this knowledge? How does he want you to read through this and glean from it what he wants you to take? Mm. And the second one is to plan and to make plans. And so that's what this book is all about. It's like, how do I plan? So this book gives you the plans. It gives you ideas of how to make a menu, how to look at what you have on hand, do an inventory, how to put that inventory into your menu and write out a one-week plan and then a one-month plan. And then from there, it's, okay, where do I get the food and how do I find food or prepare food that will last? The book also goes into gardening. It goes into canning. It goes into dehydrating. All of these different topics are topics that most people aren't even aware of that are very simple. Mm-hmm. And once you learn them, you can actually stretch a food budget twice as far as normal.
Mm. I think people's their general impression is that eating nutritionally is actually more expensive. And since they feel that it's more expensive, a lot of folks don't get into it for that reason. Would you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I run up against that response quite often, but mostly it's because we're trying to replace one processed food with another.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that and you're looking at an organic processed food versus a non-organic processed food, it's like, yeah, that is more expensive. Or if you're looking at, okay, I can't buy all organic produce because it's too expensive, but really the prices on organic produce have greatly come down since I started, you know, eating this way because of the demand, basically. And so when you know how to look for food, when you know how to, you know, store it, it becomes very economical.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned they're freeze-drying, dehydrating the food. Typically, real food doesn't last very long. I remember years ago when they had the Twinkie going out of business, the manufacturer, somebody said that it had a 20-year shelf life or something. And I said, I have no clue what that is. All I can tell you is that is not food, because real food, like if you make a loaf of bread, we make a loaf of bread very often, grind our own grains and so forth and make the bread. It doesn't last very long at all, a couple of days, really. And I noticed that with real food, it doesn't have that long of a shelf life. So you've got to extend that shelf life in certain ways, like either especially through dehydrating or canning, like you mentioned. But also, and if you could, freeze drying, which is more difficult. The equipment is more expensive. But there are ways to do this, and you can do, and that food can last an awful long time if you do that properly, right?
Oh, it's incredible what it will do. I mean, all you're removing is the water. It is one of the best preserving types that you can do to save all of that nutritional value.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low heat for over, you know, a period of hours. You remove the water, and you have a food that will store for years. I mean, 5 to 10 years, your dehydrated food will last.
Hmm. You also mentioned in the book, then, not just the food itself, but you have a section on cooking. And, you know, it'd be great. You got all this food stored up. Then something happens, and now what do you do? You know, how are you going to actually reheat that food? And so you've got some long-term options that are there. You talk about kitchen supplies and appliances and so forth. Just briefly tell us what folks would find in that section.
Well, because we do conferences around the country and churches, the Flavor of Grace conferences, we had to learn how to do a cooking class in any room of the church.
Mm.
And so that meant we had to learn, okay, well, how are we going to cook? So we found these butane countertop ranges, and it's only like $20 that you can get on Amazon or at Walmart or anywhere you shop, and you can actually cook your regular meal on this single burner or a double burner for very inexpensively. You just buy these butane cans, and it's very easy to do in the home. It's designed to be done in the home, and it's very inexpensive. And so that is one of the discoveries that I made. I'm like, wow, I wish I had known about this years ago.
Mm.
And so if anything were to happen to the power and we lose power, you know, we have such tall trees here in Virginia that when the power lines go down, they could be down for 3 days. That's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, during some storms, they've been down for weeks. And so having something like this that's just real easy to cook with, it just brings peace of mind. It's like, wow, okay, this is actually fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because, you know, when this hurricane was predicted, all of us were getting excited that we were going to pull out all of our cooking, you know, our new cooking things, and our kids were excited. You know, it's like, hey, we get to play with all that stuff we've been, you know, storing up. So it just brings confidence in knowing that, oh, I can do this. This is easy. It's not like I have to learn a new language to be able to cook these foods that I've stored up.
You know, that's you mentioned the word confidence there. That's an important point. People have become so dependent on everybody else or on the government or whatever, that's going to come and rescue you and take care of you. I think one of the benefits here is just there are so many good lessons and values associated with being more independent and being able to do for yourself. And I think that your book and the lifestyle like this is something that is very good for people. And it's a difficult thing because for some people, they've been dependent so long. I know families that they barely even use their kitchen at all. They just go out to eat constantly and almost every night. And that's just the way that their lifestyle is. So they're going to be lost when something like this happens. But I think that, there are certain benefits associated with getting back to the land, getting back to your dependence or your own. You take responsibility for providing for yourself and for your food, obviously under the gracious hand of God and His provision. But I just think there's benefits there. Would you agree?
Well, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond my family and preparing for my family.
Mm.
When I'm confident in knowing that, you know, I have prepared my family well for the snow, as it says in Proverbs 31, then I'm available to help other people.
Yes.
And when there's trouble, when there's chaos, you know, whether it's a storm or, you know, economic issues, or someone loses a job and they need a meal sent over, I've got food stored up that I can share. So I'm not only sharing my food, you know, when you feed people, their hearts and minds are more open to hear about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we keep this to ourselves, it's like, yes, I'm prepared. I can take care of my family and don't share with others, then I think we've missed out on the biggest calling that God's given us.
You know, I have heard that sentiment in so many different people that are involved in, you know, just some taking some reasonable steps for preparedness. They all seem to have that same selflessness, where they're thinking bigger than just themselves and thinking that people are going to be in difficult straits there, and they want to be prepared to help others. And I'm so happy to see that. I really think it's a wonderful attribute associated with this. In your book, we just have time for one more section, but you talk about gardening as well, and raised bed gardening and container gardening, indoor gardening, those types of things. Are you finding more and more people growing their own food?
Oh, totally. You know, that is, it's amazing. And people, excuse me, people will say, you know, hey, if your kids won't eat healthy, have them grow the food and then they'll eat it. You know, and so more and more young moms are growing food. You know, other people are trying to find land to grow food. But, you know, there's probably someone on the call who's listening, someone on the line who's listening and saying, I don't have room to grow a garden. And so I just want to share this real quick story. My tomatoes didn't really start out that great this year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they looked pretty sad. And I was pricing tomatoes at the market and seeing how I was going to kind of put up my tomato sauce for the year. And I was just, the price was just way too high. I mean, it made every quart like $4 or $5 a piece to buy the tomatoes elsewhere. And so I just prayed. I'm like, Lord, if I'm to put up this tomato sauce, I obviously cannot afford to buy tomatoes from someone else, and mine looks sickly. Mm-hmm. So I said, you're going to have to show me where to find the tomatoes. And so I was driving to this farmer that I had met. I was driving to his field to talk with him how he grows his food. And I drove by this house, and the yard had a huge garden, and the tomatoes were just all over the place, and they were bright red. And I said, okay, I'm just going to go talk to them. So I went up to the door, and I said, hello, I'm Annette, and I see all your tomatoes on your vine. I said, would it be okay if I bought some of your tomatoes? And she said, oh, honey, I'm done with all my canning. You can have all you want.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And so I think we don't allow God to help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's like, if we really put it out there, it's like, Lord, I really believe that I want to prepare more for my family, but I don't have room to grow a garden. He will introduce you to someone who can help you. It's kind of like, it's how we work together.
Mm-hmm.
And He wants to give us the desires of our heart, and our desires are to take care of our family and to take care of others. And there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no excuse. And the confidence that it brings is just, it's just reassuring of His love.
Great point again, because not only have I noticed the idea of the selflessness that many of the people that are involved in this have, but also I've noticed that the sense of community. You don't have maybe all the skills that are necessary or all the equipment that's necessary, like you were saying, or even just a bad year with tomatoes. But in the communities that are popping up all over, you know, where people are helping each other. I have a farm one on Facebook that I'm a part of, where they're just sharing tips and, you know, all sorts of helpful information out there. It's just there's a great spirit of community that's involved in this preparedness as well. And that, I think that's a wonderful thing as well. Annette, very quickly, give us the website that people can go to find out more about your book and find out more about what your speaking opportunities and those things.
Well, there's two different websites. The book is basically right now just on Amazon. So it's The Proverbs 31 Prepper by Annette Reeder on Amazon.com. So you can buy it there. And actually, today is the last day to get it for 99 cents. So I would hurry up and get it today.
Yes.
And, you know, check it out, read, write a review. That would be most appreciated. My website for the ministry is flavorofgrace.org.
Excellent.
And that's where you can learn about our conferences, you know, the cooking classes, the books, the other books that I've written with the Bible study and all of that. So great resources there.
Excellent. Well, Annette, thank you once again for joining us on the program today. We really appreciate it.
It has been my pleasure.
All right. That was Annette Reeder, and we were talking about her recently released book entitled Proverbs 31 Prepper. She mentioned you can get that book in the e-book format. You can get it now for just, what was it, 99 cents. And so there's parts of the book that we didn't get a chance to cover. If you're interested in this type of preparation, I think it's an interesting book to read. There's parts on there on first aid kits and, you know, taking care of that type of items as well. Check it out for yourself, Proverbs 31 Prepper.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.